If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. The book of Philippians, chapter 3. We're continuing a series that we started earlier, walking through the book of Philippians. And today, I want to talk to you a message entitled Press On, to where we take two words that are in this passage, and they're spoken of twice. Press on. What Abby just sang about was about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and how he came and he gave his life for us and he's here with us. And with that, there is a goal in every Christian's life. And the goal of every Christian is that we would pursue spiritual maturity, that we would be conformed to the image of Christ. If you just had to lay it out and say, hey, be a bottom line guy, what am I supposed to do in my life? Well, let me tell you the first thing. It is to pursue spiritual maturity, to be conformed to the image of Christ, to say that I want my life to be like Christ. And the Apostle Paul, in writing in Philippians, and especially in this section, deals with that, and he deals with his eagerness and his desire for this to be a part of his life. Now, in order to read the passage, we will talk verses 12 through 16, but I want us to go back a couple of verses to verse 10 and go verse 10 and 11, and then we pick up verse 12. Are you ready? Let's get ready to go. Philippians chapter 3, starting in the 10th verse. Paul is saying that I may know him, Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Now, all of these things he wants to see happen in his life. I want to know him, power of his resurrection. I want to share in his sufferings. I want to become like him in his death. And he says, all of these things, I want to be like Christ. Now, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. And brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Paul, two times here, said, I want to press on. Now, let me tell you what press on is. The Greek word for press on is dioko. Now, I say that because I just love the word. And so I'm going to count to three. When I say three, I want all of you to say dioko. Are you ready? One, two, three. Dioko. You are some Greek scholars. There you go. You've got a Greek word, dioko. And dioko means press on. Press on. Now, see, this has just been beat into my life because we did a youth camp when I was a pastor in Ruston. And we did it with two churches, the church in First Baptist Church in West Monroe and the First Baptist Church Ruston. We brought our kids together and we built it off of this theme. And it was on dioko. Press on. And that whole week at camp, that's all you would hear, dioko, dioko, dioko. And so that has stayed with me because it's such a great word. Press on. What it means is to run after, to chase after with intensity of effort. To chase after something with the intensity of effort. If this was used in a hunting instance, it would mean that it would describe the pursuit of game. It was that you would be stalking something relentlessly that you were hunting. If it was an athletic term, it would mean that you run so as to gain the victory. You're not lollygagging back there. You're giving it all you can. You're booking it. You're heading towards the finish. Press on to run with intensity. And so the Apostle Paul, two times in here, says, I'm pressing on. Now, his goal is this spiritual maturity. His goal is to be as like Christ. And two different times he says, I press on. So what I want us today is to look at both times we use the word press on, and we'll ask two questions. The first question is, why? What's the big deal? Why do you press on?
Well, look what he says. He says, I press on, and the first reason is you press on because you're dissatisfied with where you are spiritually. You're dissatisfied with where you are spiritually. The Apostle Paul in verse 12 says this, not that I have already obtained this. Remember we read verses 10 and 11? All these things of Christ, I want to know him, want to be a share in his sufferings. And he says, I want to let you know, guys, not that I've already obtained this. I've not gotten there yet. He brings up all his experiences. He brings up all his achievements. And he says, listen, with all the things that I've done, I just have not reached this goal of moral and spiritual perfection in Christ. There is a holy dissatisfaction with his spiritual attainments, and there's an eager longing for a better and a closer relationship with Christ. And so there's this dissatisfaction. Let me ask you, how are you doing today? Are you totally satisfied with your spiritual walk? Do you feel that you've reached spiritual maturity? Do you think that at this point in time that you and Jesus are just like one and the same? And see, most of us and all of us should answer, no, I'm not there. And there should be a dissatisfaction with where we are spiritually. And so because of that, we need to press on. And you see, once Paul was converted there on Damascus Road, there was a whole new assessment of his goals. And it gave him a great desire to know Christ and to know him more fully. And he's dissatisfied because he hasn't reached that perfect completeness to which he has aspired. And so first there's a dissatisfaction with where you are spiritually. But let me tell you the second reason why we press on. It's the desire to pursue the purposes for which Christ has chosen you. Now write that down. I love that statement. It's a desire to pursue the purposes for which Christ has chosen you. Look what he says in here. The end of verse 12. He says, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Now, some of your translations may have that a little bit different. You see where it says to make it my own? That means to seize, to hold, or to grasp. I want to make it my own. I want to grab it. I want to seize it. I want to hold on to it. Why? Because Christ has seized me, he's grabbed me, and he's held on to me. Paul is pressing on because Jesus grabbed him, seized him, held him on that Damascus road. Now, you know the story of Paul. Paul was a guy, his name was Saul, and he was persecuting Christians. And that was his job, was to go in and break up the small churches and arrest people and even if need be, put them to death. And while he was traveling to Damascus, going along the road, a vision came to where God spoke to him from above, sent this blinding light to him, and everyone else turned aside. And Paul's the only one that heard the voice. And God said, why are you persecuting me? And all of a sudden, Paul came to the point. He says, Lord, I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. And at that moment, God got a hold of Paul. And Paul said, because you got a hold of me, it meant that you had a purpose for my life. And what my desire is I want to grab hold of you and I want to pursue whatever that purpose is for my life. Isn't that what we all want? Don't you want when life is said and done with that we can know that we've done the purpose which God has called us? And so what that means is we need to press on. And that's what Paul says. I want to press on. I want to move towards that spiritual maturity. I want to know that I'm doing exactly what it is that God has called me to do, that I am pursuing the purpose that he has grabbed me for. Every one of us should spend our lives pressing on so that we may grab that purpose. Press on. That's why you're pressing on. And the Apostle Paul said, listen, I've not attained any of this yet, but I'm pressing on to make it my own, even as Christ has made me his own. Okay, you may say, hey, Danny, you got me. I'm dissatisfied with where I am spiritually, and I would love to know what the purpose is for what God has done for me. I mean, for what God has set for me. Because see, I can tell you as an 8-year-old boy in that summer when I understood what it meant to receive Christ as Savior, and I made that decision and publicly professed it in my church, walked down the aisle, middle verse, I surrender all. I came down and stood right there and I professed to the pastor what I'd already prayed in my home with the pastor, that I wanted Christ to come into my heart. At that moment, God, he had a hold of me. And then what my goal and my desire has been is to say, God, you have grabbed me. What I want to do is I want to grab hold of that purpose in which you've called me. And he says, Danny, in order to do that, you got to press on. You got to run in such a way as to win. That's why I want to press on. Okay, that's the why. Well, how do you do it? Well, that's a great question. Let me tell you. Apostle Paul, verse 13, tells you how you do it. Look what he says. First part of it. He says, but I do not consider that I have made it my own. Again, he's saying, guys, I want to let you know, I've not attained this perfection. So I've not arrived yet. But then he says this, but one thing I do. Concentrate on one thing. Here's the first part. Concentrate on one thing. But one thing I do. I'm taking all the things in life that are surrounding me, and I'm putting a focus on one thing. One thing I do. My priority, my main desire. There is a power in concentration. You know, when you put your focus on something, you concentrate on something, it means you will not be diverted to anything else. He says, I will not be a quitter. I will not run off on side issues. I have no time for lesser interests that will take me away from the main thing. One thing. One thing I do. I put that at the top of my list, he said. I'm going to concentrate. How do you press on? You concentrate on the one thing. Now, the book of Nehemiah. If you remember the book of Nehemiah, and choir, can y'all hear me okay today? Since I got my mic working over here. Nehemiah was called to go back to Jerusalem to do one thing. Do you remember what it was? What's it? To rebuild the walls. The walls have been destroyed. Nehemiah's heart was breaking for Jerusalem. So he goes back to build the walls. And that's his thing. That's what he is supposed to do, is to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Guess what? When he gets there, there's some people that are against that plan. And their desire is to undercut him and to keep that from happening. So what happens is, when you get to Nehemiah chapter 6, and they're in the midst of building the walls, the people that were against him began to send letters to him and say, hey, we want to meet. We want to talk. We want a dialogue. And he knew that what they were doing was trying to take him away from what his purpose was. Nehemiah 6:3. Look at his response. I love this. He says, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? Did that answer work for them? Nope. Four times they kept coming back to him. And each time, what did he do? He sent him a text message back. I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back. Why should I stop what I'm doing? And he was so good, he could text and still work. He was incredible, okay? And he said, I'm not coming down. Why? Because I'm focused on one thing. When you press on, you want to press on towards spiritual maturity to be like Christ, you got to concentrate on the one thing and say, everything that I say and do needs to lead me to this spiritual maturity. And I don't want to get caught off on these side interests. Now, whenever I think about one thing, it always pulls me back to when I was working at the telephone company. David Matthews will remember this story. I worked for David Matthews. That's why I messed up today. David was my boss there in Mobile. And the divestiture had just taken place, and AT&T had all broken up. And we're trying to figure out what we're doing, and we didn't really know what we were doing. And the first couple of months were difficult. We couldn't get the orders right, and then we had all kind of complaints. And so the AVP is going to call this big meeting in Birmingham, and everybody comes to Birmingham, and he's going to give us an opportunity for us to share our grievances. And boy, we had a bunch, didn't we, Dave? Man, we were hot. We were making our lists, and we were mad about this, mad about that. And so he pulls us together, and he stands before us, and he says, men and women, in this company and in your job, you juggle a lot of balls. Some of those balls will fall. But there's one ball called results that should never fall. Always keep your eye on that results ball. Okay, any questions? Whoop, about wrapped it up for me. There were no questions, were there, David? There was no complaining. He just nipped it in the bud right there. He says, just give me the results. That's it. Focus on one thing. Listen. You press on. How do you do that? You do it by, first of all, concentrating on one thing, but then look what he says, forget two things, all right? Forget two things. In here, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind.
Let me tell you what forgetting means. The word forgetting is a word that means to no longer be influenced by. To no longer be influenced by, to no longer be affected by. So it is not just getting those things off your mind. It says, don't let these things influence you. Don't let these things hold you back. Let me tell you the two things that we need to forget. Number one, past failures, guilt. Every one of us is messed up. Every one of us has done things that are wrong. And hopefully every one of us has come to the Lord and say, please forgive me for this. And we've confessed those sins and he has forgiven us of those sins. Forget about those past failures. Number two, forget about your past achievements and successes. Forget about the past achievements and successes. And here's the reason why. These can be used as excuses for relaxation in your spiritual life. You see, some of you right here, when I started talking about, are you dissatisfied with your spiritual walk? Some of you said, yes, but. And the but was, well, you know, you don't know what I did. I had some failure and that God will just never be able to use me. And what that is Satan's trying to use that so you'll just be relaxed and you'll stay at ease and you'll never grow in spiritual maturity. Some of you will say, hey, today I'm not really good, but let me tell you about 5 years ago. Woo! I'm telling you what, I was a champion. Man, I was a stallion for God. Let me tell you what I did. I went on this mission trip, or I did a fast, or I did this or did that. What that's doing is it's keeping you from growing. And that's why Paul is saying, forget the past. He's not saying those things were wrong. No, those accomplishments are good. And you learn from mistakes that you've made. All of that's fine. But do not let that become an excuse for you to relax and for you to be complacent and fail to grow spiritually. Concentrate on one thing. Forget two things. And then number three is exert strong effort. Exert a strong effort. I want to tell you, pressing on for a spiritual maturity, it's hard work. Look at the way Paul does it. He says, and straining forward to what lies ahead. Straining forward. That is an athletic term. It is a racer that is straining his muscles with a clear focus and a complete dedication to the race. He's going flat out to the finish. I'm straining forward. Have you seen those runners when they're coming down the home stretch and they're trying to get to the finish line? Every muscle is straining. And they got their face and their face is shaking and their jaws are shaking and they're just running. That's what he says. I'm straining forward. Toward what lies ahead. See, I'm straining forward to what lies ahead. So what is it that lies ahead for you, Paul? I don't know, but I'm getting excited about whatever it is. And with excitement and enthusiasm, I've got an energy about whatever the opportunities are ahead for me. And so I'm straining forward with everything that I have to the opportunities that God has for me. And then you come to verse 14, and he says, and I press on toward the goal. There's that press on, and I press on. I'm running in such a way as to win. I'm giving it all. I'm not holding back, and I'm running as far, as hard as I can because there's no place for sitting around. There's no place for complacency. There's no place for just lying back and just staying in a spiritual rut. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to press on, and I'm going to strain. Even as a runner is running to break the tape, that's the way my life is going to be. I don't want my life to end with me just sitting in a spiritual rut, just wishing I had done something different or wondering why there's nothing exciting happening in my life. Man, I want to press on. And he's saying that. He says, I want to. I've not attained this yet, but that's my goal. And he says, I'm pressing on. And I'm pressing. I'm dissatisfied with where my spiritual life is. And I want to grab the purpose in which God has called me to do. And it can start with a young person. It can start with an adult. Today would be the day to where you say, I'm going to press on. I'm tired of this little complacent, mamby-pamby Christianity. I want to press on. And he says, I'm going to concentrate on it, on this one thing. It's going to be the goal of my life. I'm going to forget all the things I've done in the past, just so that they don't hold me back. But then I'm going to strain forward. I'm going to exert a strong effort on there. And then he says, I'm going to focus on the upward call. I'm going to focus on the upward call. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal,
toward, that word means bearing down on, toward the goal. I'm pressing on toward the goal. And that word goal means a marker. And he says, I'm looking at the goal. And there were times when there would be a post out there that would have a marker on it, which would show you where the end of the race is. And as he's running, he says, my focus is on that goal. My focus is on that marker. And so I'm going to keep my eyes peeled on that, and I'm going to strain forward with everything that I have in that goal of Christ's likeness, of spiritual maturity, of one who imitates Christ. I'm going to rivet my attention to that goal. Focus on the upward call. How do you press on? Let me tell you, you put your focus on what that call is. That spiritual maturity, that Christ-likeness. Now, I want to tell you something. Whenever you're doing anything athletic, especially when you're running, your eyes can control the straining of your muscles. What do you mean by that, Dan? Let me just tell you. Last year, I ran a marathon in Idaho. And If you've ever done any Google searches or whatever, you can go and find a website that has, I think it's marathon.com or so, and it has all the different races. You can click on that race, and you can click on a section called comments. And the people who've run that race will give their comments about that. And that way you can kind of judge, you know, if you want to do that one or not. It was interesting after running that race. There was something that I felt inside, but I thought maybe I was just crazy. But I read one of the bloggers that gave a comment, and they nailed it. The interesting thing on this race is, after you've run about 25 miles, you start there's a place where you start, and it's the same place where you finish. And it's a big inflatable thing, and it has the words finish on it, so it's very clear to see. And that's where the crowds are gathering. Now, what you want is for your eyes to focus on the finish, because after you've gone 25 miles, you don't want anybody messing with you, because your body is saying, shut down, and you're saying, shut up, give me just one more mile, please, Lord, just one more to get me over here. And in this particular race, as you came out from an area that was sort of deserted, and you came up a little bit of a hill, all of a sudden, you come to the park to where the race started. And as you come up that hill to the park, it would be as if I was running here and the finish line is right there with the baptistry. And it says finish over there. And you're feeling pretty good because you say, I've come to the end. But just when you thought you came to the end, you realize that as I'm running here, there's another road that runs parallel to that. And you end up going right past the finish, and you've almost got another mile to run behind it and circled around before you can come back around and see that finish. I knew it destroyed me personally, but when a person wrote, they wrote in there and they said, I wish they'd changed the finish. Because once a person has run over 25 miles and their eyes fix the finish, their muscles began to pick back up, and they can see where they can get to the end. But once you found out that that was not the finish, your body almost shuts down because your eyes no longer see the finish, and they just shut down. And it was a tough remaining mile. And until I could circle back around and see that finish, it's like my body kind of picked back up. And I realized how important it is to get that focus on the finish. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, let me tell you, you want to press on? Here's how you do it. You focus on the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. Focus on that prize. And as you go through your day and you say, I want to grow spiritually, I want to be that spiritual mature person, put the focus on the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. You know what's so great? In the athletic games of that day, they specifically honored their athletes. And the way they honored the special athletes, they were not crowned down in the stadium. No, they brought them up to where the emperor was, and they crowned them up there. There's always an upward calling. the prize of the upward calling. And what Paul sees is that one day he knows he's not going to meet spiritual perfection here on earth. He's looking to the future. And he's looking to that goal. And when he crosses that finish line and he steps into heaven, he desires to hear God summon him by name. Paul, Paul of Tarsus, come up here. And as Paul comes up there, he wants to be able to stand there and to be able to see his Lord face to face. And he wants to be able to stand with all the others who've also made that commitment to Christ. But his goal is to be as much like Christ as possible when he crosses that finish line. Focus on the upward call. Very last thing, maintain a disciplined, consistent walk. Maintain a disciplined, consistent walk. He says in verse 15 and 16, let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God reveals that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Let us hold true to what we have attained. That phrase, let us hold true, is a phrase that means to step in line, to walk in line, to keep doing something consistent. And so how do you do this? How do you press on? You maintain a consistency day after day of walking with the Lord. Keep that goal in mind. You can't take time off. Every time I read something about this passage, they always use a marathon as an example. And because it says life is like running a marathon, and the Christian life is. Let me just say this word. As I'm preparing, along with some others in our congregation, to run the country music marathon in about a month from now, in doing research for the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, of raising money for that, in honor of one of our young children in here, Anderson Thrower, who has that disease and is going through the treatments for it for the next 3 years. And as in that training, I added it up, and for 17 weeks, I will run a total of about 450 miles in order to get me to the position to where on that day in April that I can run 26.2. It's 450-something miles that you run. And when you talk to the people, you know what they say? You got a schedule? You keep your schedule. You run. Is it raining? You run. Is it cold? You run. Is it hot? You run. Are you sore? You run. You're not feeling too good today? Suck it up. Run. You got to get your miles in. And it's the same way with us in this spiritual journey. Well, I just don't know. Do it. Every day, stay the course. What keeps me going? The prize of the upward call. The prize of being summoned to the stand. The prize of well done, good and faithful servant. The prize of grasping the purpose for which God has called you. Press on. May today be the day that you press on. For some of you, pressing on is to make the decision like those four did. They got baptized today. And that is to say, I'm ready to make my decision. I want to make my decision public to receive Christ as Lord. For some, pressing on is saying, I want to come be a part of this church. I'm ready to make that step. For some, the decision is, I feel God's called me to go into ministry. I feel God's called me to go into missions. Whatever it may be, as we come to the invitation, I invite you to press on and do what God tells you, okay? Let me ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenges of it. And Lord, I thank you that none of us have arrived as to where we would hope to be. But yet, Father, your desire is that we would press on and that we would have that desire to grow spiritually and to see the incredible purposes that you have for us. So I pray today during this time of invitation that you'll speak to our hearts and help us to make the decisions that you've called us to do. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.